Monica Harris on the unjust firing of Ontario librarian who challenged DEI orthodoxy, how we're accidentally destroying the youngest generation, and Queen's College calls cops over Muslim student groups' Instagram posts. Welcome to Fair News Weekly. To read all of the articles discussed in this podcast, please visit this podcast episode description. Dear friends of FAIR, our mission to heal the divide in our country relies on promoting compassion and mutual respect, and advocating for freedom of expression is critical in this effort. Because we can't respect one another if we don't also respect our right to express who we are and what we believe. One of my biggest priorities has been to bolster FAIR's role as an advocate for freedom of expression and open, honest, and respectful discourse. To that end, I've sought to add members to our board of advisors who not only share FAIR's values, but who also have the voice and influence to amplify them as partners in our mission. That's why I'm thrilled to announce the newest addition to our board, Sage Steele, one of the country's most popular and respected television broadcasters. For nearly two decades, she was a fixture at ESPN, where she hosted the network's flagship show, SportsCenter. More recently, Sage has drawn criticism and controversy for courageously speaking out on issues such as the need to protect the rights of biological women in women's sports, the importance of acknowledging multiracial identities, and vaccine mandates. Since leaving ESPN, she has become a fierce proponent of viewpoint diversity and free speech. Throughout her career, Sage has hosted a variety of shows and countless live events, including SportsCenter's coverage of the Super Bowl, the Masters, the NBA Finals, the World Series, and several other national and international sporting events. During her 16-year tenure at ESPN, she was also the lead host of the network's NBA coverage, hosting NBA Countdown on ESPN and ABC from 2013 to 2017, before returning to her SportsCenter roots. Sage has also been a featured guest host on ABC's The View, was a guest on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and has been profiled by numerous publications, including Rolling Stone, Variety, The Wall Street Journal, Vibe, and Huffington Post. Beyond the spotlight, Sage is also passionately committed to numerous philanthropic causes. She is proud to be a member of the board of directors for the Boys and Girls Club of America. She is also a board member for the V Foundation for Cancer Research and an advisory board member for the Multi-Myeloma Research Foundation. She volunteers with the Alzheimer's Association and is active in her local church in Connecticut. Sage is the proud mother of three children, ages 21, 17, and 19, and resides in Connecticut and Florida. She embodies FAIR's pro-human principles in words and deed, and we are so proud and honored that she has joined our advisory board. Welcome to the FAIR family, Sage. Warmly, Monica Harris, the Executive Director at the Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism. For the National Post, FAIR Executive Director Monica Harris wrote about the recent unjust firing of Kathy Simpson, a member of FAIR Libraries, and why viewpoint diversity is not right-wing propaganda. She writes, "Moreover, and contrary to what French and others have alleged, FAIR embraces inclusion in its purest form and believes unfettered freedom of speech is critical to this effort. FAIR stands against censorship of any kind and advocates respectful disagreement because we believe bad ideas are best confronted with good ideas and never with deplatforming or blacklisting. History has repeatedly shown that censorship is an ineffective and even counterproductive means of combating the prejudice that Simpson's detractors rightly disdain. Ultimately, the best way to promote tolerance is through education and open discourse. To this end, the goal of FAIR's Libraries program is to assist libraries in their efforts to include the widest possible range of perspectives in curating their collections." For FAIR's news desk, FAIR's chairman of the board, Angel Eduardo, wrote about Queen's College's unconstitutional response to groups' protected expression and how the response is chilling campus speech. Eduardo writes, "If you don't see the problem with the Muslim student group's situation because you find the group's speech hurtful, hateful, or wrong, it is perhaps worth pausing to consider that the very principles that protect their expression will also someday protect your own, even if others find it offensive. Think about it. In our increasingly contentious cultural climate, if all it takes for your speech to suffer institutional censorship and police investigation is for opponents to claim offense, fear, or psychological distress, it's not a matter of if official power will fall on your speech, but when." For the Free Press, Ben Kowalor wrote about his recent experience at Mardi Gras, talking politics at a party, and what he learned. He writes, "Was I conducting a rigorous piece of political science? No, I was shooting the breeze with drunk people. But more serious adults have researched the psychology of our electorate, and their findings echo my own suspicions that most Americans make up an exhausted majority whose views aren't represented either by the orthodox left or the far right. The amplification of those extremes, and I would argue, a craven kowtowing among the political right and the cultural left to each group's most radical elements, gives an impression of a nation more polarized than it actually is." How We're Accidentally Destroying the Youngest Generation, a review of Abigail Schreier's Bad Therapy. For Reality's Last Stand, Julian Adorni, Mark Johnson, and Jeff Lafton wrote a review of Abigail Schreier's Bad Therapy and explain why it's time to remind children they are strong before it's too late. They write, "The problem is that all of this obsession with feelings can actually make students feel worse. As Yulia Chensova-Dutton, head of the Culture and Emotions Lab at Georgetown University, says, emotions are highly reactive to our attention to them. Certain kinds of attention to emotions, focus on emotions, she explains, can increase emotional distress, and I'm worried that when we try to help our young adults, help our children, what we do is throw oil into the fire. Or to put it another way, when we ask kids over and over again how they're feeling, we're subtly and accidentally encouraging them to feel bad." For The Atlantic, Phil Clay wrote about how the literary magazine Guernica's decision to retract an essay about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict reveals much about how the war is hardening human sentiment. Clay writes, "Empathy here does not justify or condemn. Empathy is just a tool. The writer needs to accurately depict their subject. The peacemaker needs it to be able to trace the possibilities for negotiation. Even the soldier needs to understand his adversary. Before we act, we must see war's human terrain in all its complexity, no matter how disorienting and painful that might be, which means seeing Israelis as well as Palestinians and not simply the mother comforting her children as the bombs fall, and the essayist reaching out across the divide, but far harsher and more unsettling perspectives. Peace is not made between angels and demons, but between human beings. And the real hell of life, as Jean Renoir once noted, is that everybody has their reasons. If your journal can't publish works that deal with such messy realities, then your editors might as well resign because you've turned your back on literature." For ATA News, Ferris Alberta chapter leader Robert Piotrkowski wrote about why he believes the best way to reduce bias is to engage in authentic, curious discussions with a generous spirit. "It's becoming more widely reported that training of this sort," he writes, "can be reductive and ineffective. To explore more productive options, I was directed to David Lewis Pert, a former lecturer and DEI trainer. Lewis Pert noticed that existing frameworks, while well-intended, often fell short of producing positive outcomes and promoted ways of thinking that are unable to contend with nuance. Lewis Pert offers two pieces of advice for moving forward. Drop the emphasis on anti-training, whether anti-homophobia, anti-racism, etc., and instead lean into relationship building and establishing curiosity and compassion in the diverse workplace. The belief in race and the practice of racialization have served to maintain social and economic hierarchies, racism, across human history. Join Fair Advisor Greg Thomas, Sheena Mason, and Carlos Hoyt virtually on Friday, April 5th, 2024, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern, and Saturday, April 6th, 2024, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern, to learn how racialization produces the illusion of race and maintains racism. Learn how you can deracialize your worldview, practice anti-racialization, and recognize the racelessness of the human species. Register now with the link in the description. Teaching about Identity: Lessons from the Cultural Revolution. Join Fair in Education Thursday, April 11th at 6 p.m. Eastern for a conversation with Ji Van Fleet and Dr. Ping Nan Chi, both survivors of the Chinese Cultural Revolution, as we discuss education in 1960s China and how to avoid similar mistakes in today's K-12 classrooms. Register today. Join Dissident Dialogues in partnership with Unheard and sponsored by Ground News in New York on May 3rd and 4th. The world's leading and most original thinkers gather for 2 days of debate, discussion, and disagreement. Discussions will feature FAIR advisors Michael Schellenberger and Li Feng, as well as Richard Dawkins, Ayaan Hirsi Ali, John McWhorter, Steven Pinker, Constantine Kissin, Francis Foster, John Varakay, Thomas Chatterton Williams, Kathleen Stock, Freddie Sayers, Bridget Fettesy, Diana S. Fleischman, Africa Brooke, Alex O'Connor, and Mary Harrington. We want the FAIR Substack to be the go-to publication for diverse perspectives on culture and civil rights. Whether you're a seasoned author or an amateur writer with a story that can contribute to our mission of promoting fairness, understanding, and humanity, we would love to receive your stories, opinions, investigations, reviews, interviews, and more. Please send your piece to submissions at fairforall.org. We hope to hear from you. Finally, if you liked this podcast, subscribe, share it with a friend, and leave us a rating and review. Make sure to check out our newsletter and weekly roundup to read more into any of this week's stories, or visit the episode description. Donations are always welcome at fairforall.org/donate.